Hi, this is Matt Welsh from Spiritual Media Blog, and tonight I'm here with John Viscount, producer and writer of Admissions Film. John, thanks so much for being here with us tonight.
My pleasure, Matt. Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about your movie, Admissions. Why did you make it?
Well, I actually wrote the script originally as a response to 9/11. Probably within 24 to 48 hours of that event occurring, I decided I wanted to put out a more forgiving interpretation of life's events so people could find a pathway to forgiveness and peace no matter what the world served up. So I wrote the script, and I sent it to my dear friend Gavin Bierman, who actually ended up being the producer of the film, and he's been in the movie business for quite some time, and he really liked the script, and we talked about it a bit, and then we kind of just let it go by the wayside because we were involved with other things. So about, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 years later, another friend of mine approached me and said they wanted to write a short film, and I remember Admissions, and I pulled it back out, and I read it, and I kind of came to the realization that the teachings were just as timeless then as they were when I wrote it. And I got back in touch with Gavin and said, you know, maybe we ought to make this thing because it seems like it's still very relevant to the events in the world today. So that's kind of how it came about.
Yeah, I noticed a major theme in the film is forgiveness. And could you talk a little bit more about that, like why you wanted to make a film about forgiveness and maybe how that's affected your personal life or this society on a bigger scale?
Well, it's my humble belief that forgiveness is absolutely the most important life skill, because if you're not able to forgive, your gateway to enduring peace and love is closed off. So in my own life, I had gone through some tough times when I was younger. My family split up, my parents broke up, and there were some tough emotional times, and I had a hard time kind of processing everything that went down, and I started to actually suffer from cluster headaches, which are a kind of a form of migraine headaches, but they actually come in clusters. So you'd get a cluster, and it could last literally 2 to 3 months, and you might get 40, 50, 60 headaches, and it really became quite difficult. And so after my about 15th or 16th year of suffering through those headaches, I finally kind of reached bottom, and I said, I need to find another way to process my life. And I originally started digging into Buddhism, and that changed the way I saw the world immediately because they put so much precedence on disciplining the mind. And then from that, I just started exploring all the different spiritual paths and kind of became a spiritual mutt. And through all those pathways that I went down, I started to kind of develop a core belief system. And that's kind of the core belief system that you see represented in the film Admissions.
Obviously, you talk a lot about the value of forgiveness, and I think it is a valuable skill. But some people in psychology might talk about how if you've been through a traumatic experience or experienced an abusive relationship, that first you need to express those emotions or express your anger. So, I mean, how do you balance forgiving people with still being understandably angry at a person in your life who's maybe hurt you or caused you harm?
Well, it's a great question. I think it all comes down to, what your core belief system is. And I came upon a truth early on in my studies that really has guided my life. And it's pretty simple, and it is this, that people think this world is highly complicated. But when you really look at it on a deeper level, there's really only one of two things that's ever really happening. People are either expressing love or they're crying out for love. And you can cry out for love in a number of different ways by always talking about yourself or attacking others. So when you realize that people are either expressing love or crying out for love, then you realize that there's really only one proper response to either scenario, and that is to be loving. And then when you get to be loving, then all the grievances go away, and you get to experience lasting peace. And I think the lasting peace itself gets to be so rewarding over time that it just becomes your natural reaction to life, because you don't really want to go back to the days when you're holding grievances and walking around miserable all the time. You want to actually feel that enduring peace. So I think that forgiveness, once you can get past grievances, it becomes a self-rewarding path, and ultimately it's a gift to the forgiver because you don't have to walk through life holding a lot of grievances, which really makes life hellish.
Yeah, it does. I mean, talk about, you say get past grievances. I mean, how do you do that? How do you get past grievances if someone's really, really hurt you or caused you a lot of harm?
Well, it takes a lot of discipline because, in my view, the ego is a mechanism in this world which always wants to create more separation. And it can do it in a multitude of ways, through racism, elitism, hurt, anger, even in positive ways. It can put people up on a pedestal and create more separation that way. So I think if you realize what the ego is always up to, and it's always going to be trying to create separation because that's how it ensures its own individuality continues to exist, then I think you can kind of deal with it with a little bit more of a rational mind and just kind of identify it when it happens. And when I see a grievance popping up, I don't really look at the person that I have a grievance towards. I look at myself because I know it's actually coming from me. And once again, I think this is something you just need to do over time. And when you build up that muscle, the rewards that it brings are so rewarding that you just never want to go back to the way you used to be. And that doesn't mean that you don't still have grievances. Things don't still happen that can upset you. But I think if you look at the world from the vantage point that everyone's really fighting a hard struggle, no one has it easy. Everyone who's ever existed on this world has had massive struggles and has lost a lot of the things they cared about. I think a natural compassion just starts to surface. And then you start to walk around, instead of looking for enemies, you start looking for partners in peace and ways you can join with people. One of the themes of the film, one of the underlying messages, is that according to the belief system I put forth, heaven is joining and hell is separation. So if you create grievances, that's just going to create more separation, and you're never going to get to the heavenly state of mind, which is a state of joining, unless you release yourself with those grievances. So once again, it comes down to actually beginning to do it, and at first it's very, very hard. It's hard to let go of our grievances because the ego holds on to them so strongly. But once you start doing a little bit, slowly that muscle starts to grow, and then you use it again, and it grows again, and it grows again. Eventually, it becomes your natural reaction to life. And then I think you're really maximizing your joy and your pleasure in this world.
Yeah, it's an interesting way to put it. And you mentioned heaven and hell. And this is a big question, but do you think everybody gets forgiven and goes to heaven?
Well, my core belief is that at our deepest essence, we are all love beings. And the reason I feel that way is because when we're in an unconditionally loving state, we're at our very best. Our physical body works the best. It heals itself faster. We enjoy more peace. Our mind works better. So if you believe that you are actually a love being on your deepest essence, well, then you have to look at whatever the creator is, probably had that intention in mind, because you are at your best when you're loving. So therefore, I extend from that my belief that I believe God is a loving creator, and that actually in this world we create our own hells. We're given free will so we can have a meaningful life and learn real lessons, so everything isn't dictated ahead of time. So I think that's important. But if you choose wrongly and choose to hate and attack and stuff like that, you know, you'll be punished just by those choices. You don't really need a vengeful God to punish you because you're living in hell here on earth. So it is my core belief that God is loving, and once again, it comes down to that when we are in an unconditionally loving state, we are at our very best. So I believe that was what God's intention was and is.
Oh, that's a good way to put it. And what sort of reactions have you gotten from people who have watched the film?
It's been really, really amazing. It's gone all over the world. It's won a lot of awards, and we've just received so many really beautiful emails of people to how it really affected their life. That's now being put forth in some schools. They want to actually teach lessons around the film. We're doing a college tour centered around the film. It's been just about absolutely overwhelmingly positive, and no one's been nasty about the film, but some people may say that, it looks like it's a propaganda film for Palestinians, or it treats Israelis unkind, or treats Palestinians unkind. That, you know, whatever you put out in the world, you can rest assured that there'll probably at some point some type of opposite reaction will emerge. But overall, it's been overwhelmingly positive, and it's been just an incredible joy. I mean, when I wrote the film, I really wrote it for myself just to establish in my mind the way I wanted to go forth after 9/11, because I knew we were going to be entering into a lot of separation, a lot of attack, a lot of war, and I did not want to buy into that because I don't believe in that. So originally it was just for me, just purely that. And when we wrote it, and once we had it produced, I thought it might play in a couple festivals and that would be it. But it's kind of taken off. I don't think it's because I did any great job of writing. I think it's more the spiritual truths in there are very healing, and I think people kind of gravitate to that, and I think that's what's really got it going, and it continues to grow. In fact, we're now building a global peace initiative based around the film, in which I'm working with two organizations, one organization called peacenow.com and another one called the Global Alliance for Ministries and Infrastructures of Peace. And we're actually going to try to get 1 billion signatures from people around the world to create peace departments and governments across the globe. And once again, I think that they recognize the film as having that same strength, and so the film continues to grow, continues to blossom, and it's just been an amazing, rewarding journey to watch it do so.
Yeah, tell me about those organizations. What did you say that you're hoping for those organizations to accomplish, and what are they going to be doing?
Well, PeaceNow.com is an organization founded by Scotty Brewer, who's a really wonderful man, and his goal with this organization is to get 1 billion signatures to be presented to the United Nations and all the governments of the earth saying that we want peace now. And we've been working with the Global Alliance for Ministries and Infrastructures of Peace with the film since the very beginning of the film. After I wrote the film, I decided I wanted to dedicate it to some type of good cause in the world. And since the film was designed to create inner peace, I thought it would also be good to mirror that with an effort to create outer peace in the world. So we contacted the Global Alliance, and they're a wonderful group of folks. And it just so happened that after we made the film, when we contacted them and told them about the film and told them that it was finished and sent it to them, and they really loved it, the very first place the film played was at their World Summit in South Africa. And they played it for all their delegates from around the world, and it went over very well. And so we've been aligned with them for, say, about 2 or 3 years. And then I started working with Peace Now, and it kind of dawned on me and a friend of mine by the name of Michael Goodnight that we ought to put these two together and actually use the signature gathering mechanism of Peace Now to get signatures for the Global Alliance, who has the infrastructures in place to actually go to the UN and maybe do something with those signatures. So this hasn't launched yet. Both those organizations are out there, but we're creating an initiative around it, which should probably be ready in about 2 months. And in this initiative, we'll be giving away admissions for free. And when people watch the film, then they'll just be prompted if they want to sign the petition to create peace departments around the world. So it's all kind of tying together quite nicely at this point.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned South Africa because, I mean, forgiveness has been such an important part of their history with when Nelson Mandela came to power and spoke about the importance of forgiveness. And can you think of other examples, either in the history or currently, where you think practicing forgiveness could be helpful in establishing more peaceful, like, foreign policy and relations between countries?
Oh, I think Gandhi's, you know, the quintessence of that, because he was able to truly turn the other cheek, and instead of responding with violence, he was able to forgive, you know, the British power folks who were kind of holding India hostage for all those years, and kind of creating a very unfair system of rule there. And through his forgiveness, he actually got to the point where he was able to, even when he was in prison stuff, he was actually able to see tormentors and stuff like that is another wonderful opportunity to show forgiveness. And I think that is the greatest mastery you can have in this world, is to see a difficult situation coming up and see someone who's really struggling and attacking, and to not get all angry, but to relish the opportunity to practice unconditional love. And through that, he was able to turn so many of his enemies into friends that they became some of his greatest supporters. And of course, you have the example of Jesus on the cross, whether it was allegorical or not, being nailed to a cross and saying, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." I mean, that is also just a classic example of just overcoming everything of this world. And the value of that is that while you're in this world of separation, you actually get to live in a heavenly state of mind. So even if you still continue to get tormented and all that other stuff, if inside your mind you can create, you know, a heavenly state of forgiveness and unconditional love, you truly have mastered this realm at that point. And I think it's at that point when you graduate this realm.
Yeah, that is a wonderful state of mind for people to be in. And you gave some of those historical examples. I know earlier you talked about some individuals saying some positive effects that they've had on their lives individually. I mean, obviously you can't reveal their identity, but can you talk a little bit about some of the positive effects this has had on individuals?
I'm not quite sure I understand the question. Forgive me.
Oh, I'm just wondering, people who watch the movie and they email you and they say, "This movie's had a really positive impact on my life," do they ever go into details about it? I mean, do they ever say, this film taught me how to forgive, this film helped me have more peace, this film did this or that for me," or they've just been kind of general emails?
Oh, no, there's most definitely been a ton of that. And I'll just give you one example. I actually had a reverend from the Northwest got in touch with me, and he said that he loved the film so much, he showed it to his congregation. And after the film played, he said that most everyone in, I don't want to give away the film, but most everyone in the congregation assumed in that last scene, when the two last gentlemen came in, they made an assumption that one of those gentlemen had done something to the other gentleman. And he said it was the most illuminating moment in his life because he realized that even though he was a man of religion, stuff like that, that he too had his own prejudices and assumptions about stuff. And that's why I kind of created that last scene where the two gentlemen walk in and you don't know what happened with them, but then people actually get to look at their own projections, because I don't tell people what happens in that last scene, but they always make their own projections on what happens. And I think that's one of the things that gets us into trouble in this world, is that we project a lot and we don't let the world unfold naturally. Now, above and beyond that, there's just been so many countless emails of people saying it's helped them with, you know, this problem in their life or that problem in life or in their marriage or stuff like that. It's been a wide variety of stuff, and it's been very gratifying to hear, because that's really the reason I wrote the film, was just to let people experience some of the healing I experienced through the wonderful teachers I've had and pass that along to them in the medium of film, which is very easy for people to ingest. Most people won't take, you know, a week, 2 weeks, a month to read a spiritual book, but they will sit down for 18 or 15 minutes and watch a film, because that's a medium they're very used to ingesting. So I think it's a really good platform for teachings, and I hope to use it more often. I hope to see other filmmakers using it more often for that, because I think it works very well.
Yeah, I watched the film, and I really liked it too. And without giving away any plot points, I mean, is there anything else you want to let people know about the film and things they should know before they watch it?
No, I think the film is really best when you just turn on play and you just let yourself experience it. Let people go in there with a free mind and see where it takes them. I think that's the most rewarding way to experience it. So that's really what I tell them to do, is just to watch it and enjoy it, and know that all the filmmakers who made it are very grateful for all the people who are watching it, and we just feel very lucky to be able to put it out to the world.
Yeah, that's really cool. You guys made this and put it out there for everyone. Where can we watch it, or how can people watch it?
Well, I believe we're going to be doing a free screening with your organization and the people that you speak to. I believe that's happening. And also, they can just go to admissionsfilm.com, and we have a website there, and they can get a little DVD version, or they can download it from iTunes. But if they can also pay attention to the website, because sometimes we announce free screenings. And when this M2E book comes out, that we're doing this for the Global Alliance stuff to get these billion signatures, that'll be another free offering of film, but that won't be available for probably another 2 months. But when that is available, people can check our website, and they'll have a link to it right there. Once again, that's admissionsfilm.com.
We'll check those out, and yeah, I'm going to let my audience know how they can watch this movie for free also.
Great.
Well, John, we really appreciate you being here with us. Any other sort of closing remarks you wanted to leave our listeners with?
Not really. I just want to say keep up the great work. You know, I love all the people that are indulging in spirituality and getting out the message of spirituality, because I actually believe that is our natural state. And don't get fooled by all the separate bodies. It's kind of like an illusion. On the deepest level, we are truly one. And when you think that way, your life will start to blossom in ways you can't even imagine.
Yeah, well, that's a good way to end it. Thanks for being here with us tonight.
Okay, thanks so much, Matt. You take care.
Thank you.